Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, and welcome to CFRI's CF Community Voices, coming to you from our home studio in Palo Alto, California. I'm Sue Landgraf, Executive Director of Cystic Fibrosis Research Incorporated, CFRI, and I'm very pleased to welcome our viewers and listeners. We have a very special program ahead, but before getting started, I want to thank our generous sponsors, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Chiesa USA, Gilead Sciences, Genentech, and Proteostasis Therapeutics. I also would like to note that no information presented in this podcast is intended for a patient's diagnosis or treatment. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you, and let's get started.
Hello, my name is Jacob Fraker. I'm a patient with CF, and today I'm going to talk about advocacy in general and then also my own kind of personal journey with advocacy and where I'm at now, specifically with the CF community. So I'm relatively new to advocacy. I think I first experienced advocacy when I was 7 or 8. I was in the hospital. And they had wanted to do a medical procedure where they were going to put a camera up my nose and go down to my stomach to take pictures. And they had kind of gotten the okay from my parents and had proceeded to do the medical procedure, but I was not going to have it. And so there was a bit of a struggle. I was kind of fighting back. I didn't want it to happen. I'd been in the hospital for over a week at that time. And I'd been poked and prodded enough, PICC lines and x-rays and MRIs, I was just done. And this was kind of like my limit. And so I was fighting back really difficultly. They had nurses and orderlies holding me down, trying to like force this camera up my nose. I'm struggling and screaming and just super frustrated. And then my mom came into the room and said, enough. She said, we're not doing this today. And that was my first real experience with advocacy. I was a minor, and so I didn't get to not consent to medical procedures. And so my voice wasn't being heard, it wasn't being respected, and it wasn't causing anything to happen. And so the people who, you know, I trusted and loved were able to step in and say enough is enough. And so that kind of stuck with me throughout my childhood, and, you know, advocacy comes in all kinds of forms. It doesn't always take place at like this political level, but it can always happen at, you know, just person to person or within your community. But as I became to, you know, worked in various communities through nonprofits and through kind of my own social work profession, which is what I do now, I found that I preferred advocacy kind of at those higher levels. You know, there's kind of this antidote that if there's, you know, there's a village and they have this well and kids are drinking from the well and all these kids are getting sick. And so you need people who are kind of on the front lines to help give prescriptions to these kids, to help them deal with whatever's bad in the water. And we can spend all our time, you know, working on the kids, but the issue is the well. And so I prefer to go over to the well and say, what's wrong with this? We need to fix this. And so going to the source of that problem, going to the root of those problems, and in today's society, that's, you know, your state or federal legislator. I had my first opportunity to kind of work within that realm when I was selected for a fellowship through Equality California. They're an LGBT rights group here in California. They're very big, and they select 6 people out of all of California to go to the state legislator and work with either an assembly member or a senator. And in your own capacity, you kind of help to pursue LGBT rights and equality. But you also get the opportunity to work with whatever legislator, you know, whatever their kind of main focus is. And so I was placed with Senator Henry Stern. He represents down in LA, kind of like the Malibu district. And it was a really awesome opportunity to see how government works. I had had a small kind of view of that through lobby days. So the National Association of Social Work puts on a lobby days every year, and I was able to attend and be a team leader, and you get kind of this real tiny snapshot of what the state legislator looks like. But when you're working there, when you're working for a senator or assembly member, you get to see kind of the nitty gritty. You get to see just where the rubber meets the road. And it was really interesting. You see a lot of people who are pursuing their own personal agendas, who are pursuing their own ideas and beliefs rather than truly representing their constituencies. And that really bothered me. That's something that's always kind of bothered me, is that a lot of the people who are in power, who are in these positions that they get to say where things go, don't always have their people's interests at heart. And they're often trying to seek some alternative goal, some ulterior motive, and not really work and speak for the people that they are there to represent. And so in my time, I've had an incredible opportunity to work with tons of different underprivileged groups, underserved groups, and really kind of learn from them, figure out what it is they really need, what are their true issues, and how can we fix them, and then bring them to the people who can make that happen. And so when I was working for Senator Stern, I was able to do that. I was able to speak as a member of the LGBT community. I was able to speak as a member of the rare disease community. And I was able to speak as just a person who happens to know that there's a lot of messed up things going on in this world, and there's things that we can do to change it. And a lot of people get really kind of scared when it comes to advocacy. It's this idea that, they're the ones in charge, they are the powers that be, and there becomes this really difficult struggle to speak your mind and to voice your concerns and issues, because we're just these little people. And so when I've worked with people in that kind of realm and who are dealing with those types of issues, the important thing to remember is that they work for you. They are there to serve you. You're the one that hired them, and you have the opportunity to fire them every couple of years. And they know that just as much as you do, if not more so. And so it is their job to make sure that they make you happy. And so as long as we are willing to put our voices out there, they're going to hear it, and they're going to do something as long as we continue to speak. And one of the kind of like concrete examples that I had of that was in Senator Stern's office. There was a bill that was coming up regarding RV parks and the ability for those people in RV parks to file complaints or file disputes against the park itself. And we got so many calls that day. The phone was ringing off the hook. We easily had over 100 calls within a few hours of people from all up and down California in RV parks, or people who had family in RV parks, saying that the senator needed to support this bill. It was, quite the sight to behold. It was really interesting to see how quickly the senator was able to make up his mind in regards to that bill. He ended up supporting that bill, and we were able to get that bill out of committee and move it closer to the governor's desk. But, there's this perception that, why call or why email our legislators? We're just one voice. And that's true. We are just one voice. But when we're able to come together, those one voices turn into a really strong movement. Martin Luther King was one man. Gandhi was one man. But their ideas, their voices, their beliefs were able to make some serious change. And that's no different for anybody else, as long as you're willing to put those ideas forward. So part of my job with CFRI has been as the legislative and governmental analyst and working for their Many Voices, One Voice kind of campaign. And it's to bring your issues, your concerns, your story to the state legislator and to the federal legislator, and make sure that they hear you. This isn't about me. This isn't about CFRI. This is about you being able to tell your story to the people that need to hear it. One of the funnest things I get to do when I do go up to Sacramento is I get to kind of stand aside and say, look at all these people who need help. Look at all these individual stories. Look at this person. Look at this person. And really showcase what's going on in your life, what's going on in your community, and making sure that the people that you voted into office are held accountable for ensuring that they do the work that needs to be done. And that can be really difficult. It can be really kind of defeating sometimes, because, you know, you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., you look at what's going on within our federal legislature, and there is a lot to be disappointed in, unfortunately. There's a lot to be sad about. But that's okay, because in anything that you do, there's going to be kind of wins and losses, and, you know, we've got to deal with those losses. Life isn't about prepping for the storm. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And so you just got to have to embrace those moments, accept that they're going to come, and be ready to move on to the next step when they do. And so, you know, a lot of what we do is plan for those things. We plan, okay, well, if this doesn't work, what do we have next? You know, if this isn't go through, okay, what's the other avenue? What's the back door that we can get into this and solve the problem? And that's what advocacy is about. Advocacy is about speaking out when no one wants to hear you. And part of that territory comes people not listening to you. So you find different ways to tell the story. You find different ways to get those voices out there. And the more voices that we have, the more stories, the more people we have contributing to it, the easier my job is. You know, the rare disease community is really large. The CF community is very large. And it's also very diverse. One of the bills that came up to Senator Stern in committee was a bill on surrogacy. And as a male with CF, you know, having children is not that easy. And so surrogacy is, especially as also a member of the LGBT community, likely my future and likely the future of many other people with CF and just kind of in California in general. And so it's easy to view certain problems as just like, oh, it's that kind of a problem. If you look at immigration, oh, well, that's for, you know, people who are immigrants, and yeah, and that's not really my concern. And it's easy to kind of box up these issues. But when we take a step back, we realize that, you know, there's immigrants with CF. There's people in the LGBT communities with CF. There's so much intersectionality and diversity that it's wonderful in CF. And so it's important that if your issue isn't specifically CF related, if you have CF or you're a caregiver or a doctor, it doesn't matter what your pathway is, but if it connects to CF in any way, then it's important to talk about it. It's important to bring it up, because any small issue you fix within our community trickles down to other communities. Issues that you deal with in other communities affect ours. And so it's important not to kind of narrow in and kind of focus on just, you know, CF, but to look at the broad scheme of things and go, what's really impacting my life? What's causing me to have issues or causing my health outcomes not to be great? You know, I'm very fortunate enough that I'm able to be able to do this. I know there's a lot of people with CF who, you know, driving up to Sacramento and speaking of these kinds of things is just not an option because of their particular situation. And so I count myself very lucky, but those are really the people that I want to connect with. Those are the people that CFRI really wants to speak to, is the people that feel like there's nothing for them to do, that they can't do anything, that there's no option. I want to talk to you, and I want to bring your story to the people who deserve to hear it. And I want to make change for you in whatever fashion that may be. Doesn't always, like I said, doesn't always have to be CF related. There's a million issues that we all deal with, and solving them is important. Any of those issues is just as important as the next. And so it's crucial to be able to hear that, listen about that, formulate a plan, and then execute that plan. You know, this is something that I really enjoy, something that I love doing. Public speaking isn't for everybody, but it's something that I do well, and so I have an obligation to use that to help those who maybe can't. And so I'm so thrilled to be able to work with CFRI in this capacity and to work for their Many Voices, One Voice campaign. You know, we're looking at legislation, we're supporting legislation, we're hoping to propose certain legislation, specifically kind of in the healthcare field. I know that's an issue for a lot of us in terms of our medication, in terms of our affordability and things of that nature. It can be a real struggle. And so that's where we're starting. But there's a lot to do in the rare disease community. There's a lot of issues that have yet to be resolved. And we want to be a part of that. And I want you to be a part of that. Because you're just as important as anyone else in this community. And you deserve to be heard. You deserve to be respected. And you deserve to thrive. And I know that the system isn't always set up for us to do that. And so I'm really excited, and I urge you to, you know, contact CFRI in any way that you can participate, whether that's calling your legislator, emailing your legislator, or calling or emailing us. You know, we'd love to help put you in contact with the people that need to hear what's going on. And so I thank you for listening, and once again, please reach out, and let's accomplish something together.